Join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every spring they would come. They came on donkeys and by foot through the rough patches of olive trees and scrub brush. Pilgrims would arrive from Galilee, from Judea, from the furthest reaches of the empire, from Crete in Libya and Asia Minor. And they came to celebrate the festivals of Sukkot and Passover, Pesach, in Jerusalem. Jerusalemites would greet these pilgrims with shouts of Hosanna. And they brought branches to Jerusalem to build these shelters, or sukkah. And in these little buildings, makeshift tents made of branches, Jewish people stayed during the festival to remember that God sheltered them in the wilderness when they were freed from Egypt. Sukkot ends with Simcha Torah, this huge celebration. The Mishnah, the writings from rabbis around the same time as the New Testament, describe it this way. A king invited his sons to a feast for several days. And when it came time for them to leave, he said, "My sons, please stay for one more day because it is so difficult for me to part from you." This last day is the greatest joy, the most heartfelt. I want you to imagine the best party you've ever been to. I want you to think about, just for a moment, the most amazing celebration you've ever experienced. Were there balloons? Maybe a parade? Were all the people you love there? Obviously, there was a Costco sheet cake present. Was it a graduation or a retirement, a wedding or a birthday? I want to tell you about one of the best parties I've ever been to. I helped host it, and it happened on this beautiful spring day in May. My job was to arrange flowers on each of these picnic tables and to hang streamers from the sides of this rented park shelter. Other people were bringing buckets of fried chicken and these bright, juicy strawberries. There were Technicolor cupcakes, and someone had actually written a song to perform at this party. And a few hours later, the women, the guests, started to arrive. And we cheered as they pulled into the parking lot and made their way to these checkered tables. And one by one, we hugged them and welcomed them back. Each one of these women had been in jail the day before, unable to pay for their bail. I was on team party, but my friend Isaac was actually one of the people who went into the jail and got consent from these women for our organization's song to pay their bail. And this is how Isaac describes one of these interactions. Isaac, sit on a lone plastic chair, a grayed piece of patio furniture facing a large plexiglass window. I watch as a guard lets a woman into the enclosure on the other side of the glass. She doesn't sit, so I stand, both of us strangers to one another, although I know her name. "Hi, Alyssa," I say through the intercom. "My name is Isaac." I explain. She paces back and forth. "There's a group of people outside," I tell her, "and they sent me in to let you know that they've raised enough money for your bail." She stops and leans into the window, stares at me. "What do you mean? Do you know how much I need?" I tell her the women outside have the money and want me to know if she's ready to be bailed out this afternoon. "No way. Do not play with me. You're telling the truth?" She covers her mouth with her hands, and I nod quickly, assuring her that I am telling her the truth. I tell her the story about Black women all across the country who are bailing out other Black women from jail everywhere. She shakes her head in disbelief. because this news is too good to be true. It is unthinkably wonderful news. And she starts calling out, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And the concrete echoes with her joy. She pulls out a scrap of paper from her pocket and carefully unfolds it and presses it up against the window for me to see. "I've been praying these verses every day I've been stuck here." And she shows me passages from Ephesians and Philippians and Psalms, all in her handwriting. "I have been claiming God's promises, and now you're telling me that the Lord has broken the chains? That Jesus has set this captive free?" Through the plexiglass, she and I work through the details of her release, who to contact for a ride, and where she can stay, and friends and loved ones to call. And when we finish, as she walks away back towards her cell to gather her things, she stops and turns to me, and both of us are radiant with gratitude for this moment. She's standing at the edge of hope. And as I wander through the empty hall to the elevator, I hear a voice echo through the jail. "God is good. God is good." Hosanna. Hosanna. When Isaac tells the story, when I see the women with radiant faces celebrating their freedom, I am there with Jesus. I am there down the narrow switchbacks of the Mount of Olives to the foot of Jerusalem. During Sukkot, as people waved branches of willow and myrtle and palm and citron, they would recite the words of Psalm 118. "I thank you that you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Beloved, Hosanna is not a request. It is a claim. Hosanna marks a truth about our lives. God is here. God has already been here. God has made a way when there was no way. I have seen it. Hosanna. And it turns out that trust like this is disconcerting to powers that rule through coercion and violence. This party that rides into Jerusalem, we learn that the whole city was in turmoil. The whole city of Jerusalem, it says, begins to tremble like an earthquake. We know that Jesus is riding from Galilee in the north, down from this place that is a flashpoint of imperial conflict. At this point in time, there's no king over Judea. It's a place where agrarian people who were overburdened with taxation to support the luxury of Roman rulers are constantly rebelling. They're overseen by a prefect, a sort of figurehead. And the idea of this man from a rebellious hotspot riding in on a colt, taking up this messianic title of king, who was reenacting this messianic theater from the book of Zechariah, this is not a good look. This sets off every red flag that you can imagine. It was fine for the Roman Empire, for the Jews to worship their God. They made no claims on the power of emperor gods. It turns out that parties are dangerous for empires because joy is dangerous for those whose power feeds on despair. I mean, real joy, not distraction or medicating or pain, but real joy. Joy that is a declaration about a future that cannot be crushed because we know how to make life out of nothing. We've been shown exactly how to plant flowers in the cracks of the empire. Because we've learned this from Jesus. We learn it from Jesus, whose celebration, whose joyful announcement of freedom is so wild and so unruly, it eventually is crushed by powers. And this week, we take time to tell the whole story. And I hope you'll join us. We'll watch empires do what empires do. When they suppress this Hosanna, when they attempt to grind it into dust. And I hope you'll join us as we watch the joy and wailing and sorrow along the journey of the cross this week. Because every single part of it cries Hosanna. Every single moment of this week proclaims that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen.